sometimes when we're younger, we can associate with sex that, oh, it might mean popularity, or it might mean I'm important, or some kind of self-worth, which it isn't. You know, if you're not having sex and if you're single, that doesn't mean anything about how valuable you are as a person. But you can really see in these group dynamics how that starts to occur a little bit, and especially if one person is feeling a bit left out, and especially when people are growing up and working out their identity and where they fit in the world and developing into an adult, you can really, really see that that start to happen.
The hookup. Love and f***ing on Triple J.
Warning, sex and adult themes.
Hey, Hannah Riley here. Have you ever been in a conversation with your friends and someone said something that's made you think, shit, am I weird? Am I doing sex or relationships right? Our friends and our peer group have a much bigger influence on us than we might think. But have you ever thought about how much of an influence our friends have on our love lives? On the podcast, we're looking at peer pressure to be sometimes more sexual than our friends, taking your own time to make decisions that are right for you, and whether friends with benefits ever works. Sex therapist Kat O'Dowd joins us soon to talk us through it. But first, I hit the streets to find out if you value friendships or romance more. And I started out by asking if you've ever felt pressured by friends when it comes to sex.
Definitely how soon into a relationship you sleep with someone. That's a big difference I have with my friends. They might sleep with someone after one date or two, or even on the first time they meet, but I can't do that. That's not for me.
Maybe like when I was younger, because people always like judge you on who you date with. If you think she was attractive but everyone else didn't, then they'd be like, yeah. They'd be like, oh, nah, it's not worth it. You're better than that.
I don't know. With my friends, we all feel very comfortable. So it's kind of like, I haven't done that. I'm happy not doing that. You do that, go you. But I'm cool not to.
Which do you think are more important, close friendships or romantic relationships?
Definitely friendships.
Definitely close friendships, definitely.
Okay, there's two people on the edge of the cliff in this hypothetical scenario. One of them is your best mate. The other one is the love of your life. You have to push one of them off. Who do you choose?
I'd probably push off the romantic partner.
Can I just push myself off?
Love of my life, of course. I think so. I mean,
wait, you'd push them?
Yeah, I think so. Friends are always there for you. I know I'm lonely, so I gotta take the love of my life, whoever that is. Well, she's out there. I don't know.
The Hookup on Triple J with Hannah Riley.
Here with us to help figure out if the dating decisions we make are truly our own or our friends is sex therapist and counsellor Kat O'Dowd. Thanks for being with us, Kat.
Thanks for having me again.
So how much do our friends influence our sex lives, do you think?
I think particularly for teens and for in our 20s, it can impact our sex lives quite a lot. We can really compare ourselves to them, or we can find they might be judging them. It's a time when we're trying to work out our identity and our values. So our friends are really important.
Hearing from you on the text line, I was the first of my high school friends to get a boyfriend. And one day we were all having a sleepover at my ex's place and we were working out sleeping arrangements. They were making jokes about me sleeping with him despite the fact that I insisted we hadn't had sex. I got looked at like I was either a liar or a prude. Look, it's really interesting to hear that I guess peer pressure exists even as an adult. I mean, I know I've had conversations with girlfriends that have, I guess it's kind of like offhanded comments. Like, I don't think it's ever really meant to make you feel inadequate or abnormal. But sometimes when you hear things, it can really play on your mind, I guess. So what do you think is a healthy versus an unhealthy way of talking about sex with your friends?
I guess it's got to be open and respectful and understanding we've all got different sexual values, and our sexuality isn't a blank canvas that's like exactly the same as everyone else's, and respecting everyone's values when it comes to that. It's okay not to want to have sex on the first date with someone. It's okay if you want to take your time, and you don't have to do the same things as your friends.
Yeah, totally. And I think when I've had friends who have kind of gone against the grain and been like, no, I'm not going to do that. This is what I want to do. Everyone really respects that. Mm. And I think if they don't, then they're not people that you should probably be friends with anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
But it is interesting to see how this kind of peer pressure can go both ways. It can, like our text before on 0439 757 555, it was like either you're a prude or you're a slut, basically. It's kind of, it's hard.
Black and white.
Yeah, for people sometimes. So how can we make sure the decisions that we're making are really our own and that we're not being influenced by our mates?
It's super important to understand what are my sexual values, just working that out independently, regardless of anyone else, regardless of society. What's important to me? What do I need sexually? What do I need romantically? What do I need to feel okay before I can be intimate with someone? Regardless of anyone else, don't compare yourself to your friends.
Jasmine from Melbourne, you actually work in a sex shop. How do you see groups of friends influence each other?
Yeah, hi, Hannah. Yeah. It's quite interesting, actually. There's a big difference between males and females in the way they act. When females are in groups, I know
this is sounding,
but there's always like an alpha that's quite like, you know, very extroverted, open about sex. You know, they're talking about, you know, oh, this is an amazing toy or this is an amazing product. And they're all, she's quite like usually pushy towards her friends that aren't really interested or I notice that they kind of, like, pick on one that doesn't really seem like, you know, seems quite innocent or, you know, not really interested in what's going on. And, like, I find that with a lot of females. Like, it doesn't matter about the age group. There's always, like, that one that's really, like, out there and one that's kind of innocent that they're all kind of like, oh, he's such a prude, like that kind of behaviour.
Mm. We're with sex therapist and relationships counsellor Kat O'Dowd. Kat, why do you reckon that might be?
It's interesting. I'm hearing there's a bit of a badge of honour there or almost a little bit of subtle bullying to kind of be like, oh, look at me. I think it's really what are the connotations that are associated with being sexually confident or sexually free in that group of people that you're perhaps discussing?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they sort of do, like you're saying, hold it like a badge of honour, definitely. Mm. You know, like, oh, yeah, I've done this and I know this is amazing, that kind of behaviour.
Yeah.
But guys is really interesting because when they're in a group, they are just complete idiots, to be honest. They're like, especially straight guys. No, seriously, they're like, you know, make jokes or they'll go to like, you know, a dildo section and, you know, grab the biggest one and chase each other around with it or something. But then, interesting enough, when they come by themselves, they're quite nice. They'll ask me questions, you know, they'll ask for advice and things like that, which, you know, I think it's a lot to do with, you know, not wanting to appear like they need to know about sex.
They don't have that bravado, that mob kind of mentality happening.
Yeah, you know, like guys, you know, they should just immediately know what to do or something like that. But, you know, a lot of them are pretty clueless.
Well, it sounds like you're doing some pretty interesting David Attenborough-style observations of people who come into your sex shop. Jasmine, thanks so much for getting in touch.
No problem. Have a good night, guys.
Thank you.
Look, Kat, do you think we're just as bad when it comes to influencing our friends when it comes to sex as it, in the same way that we do with relationships? Like if there's one single friend, like just constantly badgering them?
I definitely think that sometimes when we're younger, we can associate with sex that, oh, it might mean popularity or it might mean I'm important or some kind of self-worth, which it isn't. You know, if you're not having sex and if you're single, that doesn't mean anything about how valuable you are as a person. But you can really see in these group dynamics how that starts to occur a little bit, and especially if one person is feeling a bit left out, and especially when people are growing up and working out their identity and where they fit in the world and developing into an adult, you can really, really see that start to happen. And yeah, in terms of like that peer pressure, I think that comes down to making sure we grow up knowing how to make good decisions, learning how to make good decisions for ourselves and our own values, not so much about pressure from our friends.
I asked you to get in touch with me. Beck from Warrnambool, you're the only single person left in your group of friends. How does that go when you're talking about relationships?
It's always a little bit interesting because a lot of my friends now are either married, engaged, or even now have children or multiple children. And due to the type of work that I do, you know, not had a long-term relationship for quite a while now as I travel a lot. And I seem to be the one that every time we catch up for, you know, for coffee when I'm in town and we can all get together, the first thing that everyone wants to know is, you know, oh, so how's your dating life going? How's your sex life? Any stories for us?
Beck, I feel you. I totally feel you. Having been a single person in a group of friends, many of who are in long-term relationships, I know that myself, I've often felt that I've needed to kind of like step up to the single gal plate and like have all these ridiculous, insane sex stories just to kind of keep them entertained. Has that happened to you?
It does happen every now and again. Not necessarily just sex stories, but just dating stories in general.
Yeah.
I have had a few doozies to the point where people are like, you are kidding me, that has not happened to you. And I was like, no, it has.
Every single person does, I think.
Yeah. But sometimes, it's like, we need to get into these types of things, all right. And me and my girlfriends, when we were like younger, because a lot of these girls I've known for 20 plus years now.
Wow.
And I'm very, very lucky to have a tight knit group of girls that I've known for most of my life. And they know everything about me. We know everything about each other. And it's kind of like sometimes I do feel I have to almost have something juicy for them.
Can I just ask, are your priorities the same as theirs? Like, it sounds like with your job and I think, did you say maybe travel as well? Like, do you have different priorities to them?
Oh, very much. Mm.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. They are, I love all my friends and we're all very, very different. But the type of work I do, I am my job. I chose a career that requires me to travel and requires me to not really have a permanent base anywhere. And
I guess it's kind of human nature, isn't it, in a way? They're kind of talking, there might not be any bad will there, but they're comparing you and where you're at in your life's journey with their own priorities. And it doesn't sound like they're doing that from a bad place.
Yeah, as long as they've ultimately got your back, it's okay.
Oh, yeah, they always do. A lot of the time they're usually jealous of where I get to go for work.
Totally.
It's not terrible. Yeah.
Well, Beck,
I'm a marine biologist, so it means I end up on coral reefs.
That's a sick job.
So awesome.
Who needs a boyfriend? You have the sea.
Yeah, exactly. Poseidon is my boyfriend, all over the world.
That's great.
Thanks so much for calling us, Beck. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, have a nice night, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Joining us in the studio is sex therapist and counsellor Kat O'Dowd. Kat, how much should we listen to friends when we start dating someone new?
Well, humans, we're very social, so obviously it's important to talk to our friends. But if you hinge your decisions based on your friends' approval, then that could be slightly worrying. I think, yes, listen to their feedback, but ultimately you're the one that is going to make the decision. And also the research shows that if you're quite happy and proud of being quite an independent thinker and having very independent values to your friends, then it doesn't worry you so much if your friends don't accept your new partner. It doesn't bother you. But if your values are super, super interlinked with your friends and that's really, really important to you, if your friends don't like your new partner, it could really affect the quality of the relationship and affect your satisfaction overall.
Yeah, absolutely. I know personally I 100% ask for my friends' feedback and advice, because I know that when I start dating someone new, you're in like a sex fog and you can't make proper logical decisions about who you should be spending time with.
Yes, definitely those sex hormones can blind us sometimes, which is why sometimes slowing things down a little bit and getting to know someone so you can kind of weigh up whether their words and actions meet up maybe before you just start getting blinded with lust can sometimes help. But yeah, definitely friends' opinions can be really, really helpful. But would you say, oh, I don't want to see this person because my friends don't like them?
You know what? I probably would. I probably would. If they were my closest core group of friends, if they were like, this guy's no good, he's like alarm bells and red flags, then I would trust them on that because I think they know me better than I know myself in a lot of ways, I think, as well.
That's awesome that you've got really, really good friends. And yes, red flags, super duper important. But when it comes to other stuff, I guess our friends are attracted to different qualities in mates that we are as well. So then that can sometimes, I think when you step out of that red flag territory and start talking about likes and preferences, then that can sometimes cloud it a little bit as well.
Yeah, it wouldn't be like they wear board shorts and like footy, don't date them sort of thing. Look, I've been hearing from you on the text line 0439 757 555 on the ways that your friends have influenced your love life. One of you says, I never considered myself bi until most of my friendship group ended up being queer. I now hook up with men too, but pretty much only for fun. I never would have started if my friends didn't edge me towards it. No complaints. It's all fun. That's really awesome to hear that sometimes...
opened their mind.
Yeah. That's totally awesome. Look, I want to talk about friends with benefits kinds of situations. Mm-hmm. Under what circumstance can a friends with benefits scenario actually work? Because it seems pretty treacherous to me.
It can be very treacherous and it can be wonderful in theory, but it can be a mess in reality. But the when it can work is when you are both really open and clear with your communication and both of you aren't hoping it's going to turn into a relationship. So you're clear with your expectations and you're also not messing about with saying one thing, oh, I don't want a relationship, but then your actions are saying something different, because that can really mess with people. So you'd have to have really, really clear boundaries about, okay, what does friends with benefits look like? Like, am I going to sleep over at your house? Am I going to leave the toothbrush there? Are we also going to have experiences outside of just sexual activity? And really being, communication is so important with friends with benefits. And then weighing up, well, what are the losses? What do the benefits, do they outweigh the losses, because I could possibly lose this friendship when it goes, everything goes a bit, you know, a bit off center. And then what happens if someone does start developing feelings? How do you guys start communicating and negotiating that?
And also, I guess even in the initiation process, it's hard to, get that started. I suppose if you start being attracted to a friend, like, what do you do about it? Do you sit down with them and have like a heart-to-heart conversation, or do you just kind of like go to kiss them one time, but that's, you know, sexual harassment territory? So it's like, how are you meant to initiate?
Well, be polite and respectful. So you could say, I'm really attracted to you. Could I kiss you? That could be a way to start. But also think about what do you want? I know I have a lot of clients that often go for friends with benefits when really ultimately what they deep down want, and sometimes they're hiding this from themselves, is they ultimately want a relationship. So if you ultimately want a relationship, I would suggest a very different strategy to starting with friends with benefits, because that's very different expectations going on there.
Yeah, and what are some signs that you're in a kind of friends with benefits situation and you think the other person might be starting to develop feelings? Because it's kind of difficult, because you can ask them until the cows come home to be like, how do you feel? And they're like, no, I'm cool. And then all of a sudden they're in tears.
Oh, yeah, this is really hard. I guess one of the important questions that you're actually raising is, how long can you be friends with benefits with someone, and why are you being friends with benefits? Why are you afraid of relationships, and do you actually want sex with intimacy but you don't want to call it a label? Like, what's actually going on there? And the problem with when you're intimate with someone, unfortunately, inevitably someone might get hurt in this situation. So I think you've got to be really honest with yourself in these situations and your own expectations.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's also, you've got to ask yourself the question before you get into any of this, is like, how important is the friendship? Is the friendship more or less important than this kind of sexual relationship that you're going to have? Because I feel like it's a very rare instance where people come out of this completely unscathed.
Well, especially when your expectations aren't matching up and one person is like, yeah, awesome, I just want to have sex right now. No string sex, that's all I want. And maybe the other person deep down is like, oh, I really hope this turns into a relationship if I just hang around and play your game long enough. But, oh, that's doomed.
But is it though? Because I know some people who have hung around and it actually has worked, which is...
How long did they hang around for?
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like, how long do you play the waiting game? Look, hearing from you on the text line 0439 757 555, a good mate of my husband and I just started dating a new girl and he's always asking our opinions of her and takes what we say seriously. I think if you value what your friends have to say, it would definitely have a big impact on your love life, and your friends should know what would be of benefit to you. Yeah, I think I'd totally agree with that. And that must be, you know, it's always flattering as a friend as well to have someone be like, hey, what do you think of this new person that I'm dating?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely take on what your friends say on board, but I'd also love if people had a nice strong sense of self so they could make their decisions independent of their friends as well. So I guess it's balancing it up really, isn't it? Yes, listen to the friends, but also listening to deep down what I want.
Cat O'Dowd, thank you so much for joining
us
on the
pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Is there a topic that you'd love to hear us cover? Let us know. Send an email to thehookup@abc.net.au.